Okay, Proverbs chapter 2. We had completed Proverbs chapter 1 several weeks ago. We're up to Proverbs chapter 2. And we were peering through the Proverbs, and we have completed chapter 1. And at the end of that, we titled the message, The Cry of Wisdom. If you remember that, Proverbs 1 verse 20 mentions, Wisdom crieth without. Wisdom does not purely speak out. She cries out. She yearns for men to be saved. She yearns for men to hearken to her voice and apply the wisdom and the instruction that God has for them. Wisdom has a burden for the lost and cares no doubt deeply about the decisions people make. That's the heart of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that sought after men and has a desire for them to be saved from their wicked ways, and also that they make good decisions based upon the word of God. As we understand that wisdom's crying out for people to hear and listen to the instruction of God, we see in Proverbs chapter 2 the need for wisdom, or the cry for wisdom. So we see in the end of Proverbs chapter 1, the wisdom's cry, wisdom cries out, but we see in there chapter 2, beginning from verse 1 through to 9, the cry for wisdom. This is from now our part. This is our response to the cry of wisdom. God wants us to cry back as he cries for us. He wants us to cry back and desire his wisdom. In other words, he wants us to respond. And it's not just in a casual way. It's a calculated way. We're going to see that in these few verses. So please be upstanding with me for the reading of the Word of God, Proverbs chapter 2, and we'll read from verses 1 through to 9. I want you to notice a pattern here. You'll notice a few ifs and then a couple of thens. Okay, we're going to see those different principles that if we do certain things, then certain things will take place. Okay, so we see, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness, judgment, and equity, yea, and every good path. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of the Word of God. We thank you for this portion of Scripture. We thank you for the wisdom that you have given to Solomon and then handed to us. We know, Father, that all Scripture is given by your inspiration, and it's your breathed word to us, and we thank you for it today. And we ask and pray, dear God, tonight that you'd help us to understand it, help us apply it, and Lord, help us live it for your glory and for the sake of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Solomon is letting his son and all readers know that if he receives the word of God and if he cries out seeking after the word of God, then and only then the blessings of wisdom will take place in a person's life. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 1 mentions, my son, if thou receive my words, the word of God no doubt must be received. Received means to take hold of, to lay hold of, to take in. I want to notice some examples there from the New Testament that would encourage us to lay hold or to take or receive the word of God. Notice Acts chapter 2 verse 41, the early church, they gladly received his word. And so the word of God must be received in such a way where it's gladly received, not sadly, not miserably, but gladly. Gladly receiving the word of God. In other words, that word gladly means to receive it, to take in fully. to be happy in accepting the Word of God, to welcome the Word of God in my life. And we are to receive the Word of God gladly, not only gladly, but honestly. The four soils, the parable there of the four soils of the heart. The fourth soil was a heart prepared by God. And Luke chapter 8 verse 15 says, But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart heard the word and kept it and bring forth fruit with patience. So we must receive the word honestly. And then thirdly, we receive the word readily. Acts chapter 17 verse 10. And the brethren, this is the brethren, immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night under Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Notice verse 11. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Now why? Notice, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were eager and willing to receive the word of God. Not that the church of Thessalonica did not receive the word of God. They did. Notice 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And Paul was pleased with them. He thanks God for them. In 1 Thessalonians, he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The only difference was that the Bereans were more noble because they received it with a ready mind. In other words, they were willing to go the extra mile to propagate what they heard. And so they searched the scriptures to see if those things were so in order for them to live out what they hear. This leaves us with the next verse, part of the next verse, that is. He says, if thou receive my words, hide my commandments with thee. So we are to not only receive the word of God, but we are to hide the commandments of God. Number one, embracing the word of God. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it, and also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and sell it not. And so these are the treasures of God's commandments that God wants us to embrace. He wants us to value his commandments, hide his commandments within our heart. By the way, the heart is where man's affection lies. This is the desire of a person, the affection of a person. When you hide the word of God in your heart, Satan can't come and discourage you away from that when it's hidden there in the heart. A good way to hide God's word in our hearts is, number one, to meditate on the word of God. Amen? Meditate on the word of God. And meditating on the word of God is a good way to memorize. In Psalm 1 verse 1 said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He reflects on what he reads. It's the worst thing that you and I could ever go through our Bible reading and just hurry up and get through the day because we've done our reading, because that's what Christians ought to do. Terrible thing. The best way to get or receive from the Word of God, to take it in and to hide the commandments within our hearts, is to reflect upon reread. You rather reflect on one verse and get understanding from it and be willing to obey it than read pages of the Bible and not really get anything from it. That can happen. And so we need to reflect, we need to consider, we need to ponder upon the word of God. Notice Luke chapter 2 verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Not only meditating on them, but we need to sing the word of God. That's another good way of hiding the word of God in our heart. Amen. Sing the word of God. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing grace in your hearts to the Lord. All this week, Elisha's been reminding me how wonderful it is to be a Christian. And it is. You know, sometimes you forget about that, amen? You forget how the privileges that we have in being a Christian, to be a Christ follower, and the privilege that we have in him. Oh, behold, what manner of love is this? That God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. What a wonderful blessing that is. And singing the word of God, singing the truths of God's word, helps us hide the word of God in our hearts. So we need to embrace the word of God, but next we need to obey the word of God. Hence the word commandments. Amen. The Word of God specifically says, hide the commandments with thee. So commandments are to be obeyed. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 33, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. And that's for the purpose of hearing, to receive, to do. 1 John 5, 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. I want you to notice this phrase, and his commandments are not what? Grievous. Man, they're a pleasure. And the delight, they're not grievous. They shouldn't be anyway for a Christian. They should be, they're probably difficult, and we need God's grace to apply and propagate, and we're challenged, no doubt, by the Word of God, but in our spirit and in our hearts, we want to. We desire to. It's a delight to. We want to please the Lord. And so if we love God, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And Jesus said it. He says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And by the way, keeping the commandments of God, having a desire to keep the Word of God, proves that you love him. And so what is the purpose of receiving the Word of God? In verse 2, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. This is for the purpose to have more and more of God's wisdom, more and more of his understanding, to grow in wisdom, to apply it in our everyday life. It's to gain more insight and understanding of God's will and ways for our lives. Someone put it like this: wisdom develops from understanding. Wisdom is the goal, and understanding is the means thereto. Ephesians 5, 17 says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3, he continues to say so. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lift up the voice for understanding. So as wisdom cries out in chapter 1, as it yearns for people to hearken and to hear God's word, God's wisdom, God wants us to cry after his wisdom. I mean, he loved us. First loved us. It's always the action of God first. He seeks after us. He's the good shepherd. But God then wants us in return to seek after him. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to cry after righteousness, or thirst after, or hunger for righteousness. He says, and we mentioned this, wisdom cries without, hello, can anybody hear me? And God wants us to say, yes, Lord, I hear you. Isn't that what God said to Samuel? Eli? Samuel went to Eli and says, did you call for me? No, it was God's calling. And Eli says, go back and tell him you hear him. When God calls, he wants you to hear him. And God does call. He does. And he uses the Word of God through the Spirit of God to convict your heart through the Word of God. You say, oh, I'm just agitated all the time. I'm just upset with things taking place, so there's heavy. Or maybe God's speaking on to your heart, and maybe you're refusing to cry after whatever he's pressing on your heart to do. God wants us to seek after, cry after his word and his truths. Cry after his knowledge, the knowledge of God. R.A. Torrey said, prayer will do more than a college education to make the Bible an open book and glorious. We can cry out to God, but we need to acknowledge that we need his wisdom. And we recognize, when we do cry out to God, we recognize that we don't have it. When we cry out to God, we understand that we're wholly dependent upon him. Lord, I need you. I'm responding to you. Yes, Lord. Crying out in prayer to God for his knowledge, for his understanding, proves that we need him and that we can't do without him. It's not a casual way. It's a calculated way. It's a yearning after. It's making time for. It's crying after. Oh, Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. But by his grace and by his spirit and by the prayer of faith, God wants to give you his wisdom liberally. But we need to cry after it. And we need to yearn after when God cries after us and tries to get our attention by the word of God. We need to say, yes, Lord, your servant heareth. And we need to respond to the word of God and cry after the word of God. Say, Lord, what is it? And like Paul the Apostle said, what would thou have me to do? That's why God's crying without. Can anybody hear me? Is anyone there? Many a times God is trying to get our attention. There's so much clutter in this world, like Jim Bird puts it, so much noise. God has like to speak over everything else that takes place on our laptops and on the TV and on the radio and what takes place out there. God needs to speak over that and God wants us to say, hey, once I get your attention, will you call after me? Would you cry after me? A prayer of faith. James 1 verse 5, notice, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and that shall be given him. But let him ask how? In faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. A prayer of faith cries out to God. Faith also seeks God diligently. And notice Proverbs 2 verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasure. Again, the approach in knowing and understanding the wisdom of God is not a casual approach, it's a calculated approach with the whole heart diligently seeking after God. Notice our approach to God must be a diligent approach. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. Diligently means to search out, again, thoroughly investigate, to make an effort to go out to search diligently. And we are told to look at, to search for the knowledge of God like we're searching for hidden treasure. When you think about that, you're not Harry. You're not in the motions of ticking off what you need to do and what chapters you need to read. You're actually digging deep into the scriptures and you're crying out from the depth of your heart to know what God wants you to do. It's a diligent approach. And not only a diligent approach, it's a daily approach. Notice the Bereans again. In Acts 17:11, these were more nobles than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Notice this, and searched the scriptures what? Daily. Daily. I mean, there are many, come on, we must admit, there are many things that you and I do on a daily basis that is consistent. We eat on a daily basis, or we work on a daily basis. There are many other things that we do on a daily basis. And so the scriptures or the word of God must be sought on a daily basis. It's not on just certain... See, sometimes we think to ourselves, well, I had a good time with the Lord yesterday. Now God wants you to have a good time with him today. And every day seeking after him. It's a diligent approach. It's a daily approach. And then it's a dedicated approach. Notice what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 1:13. He says, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. When a person gives their heart to something, it shows that they're devoted to it. They're faithful to it. They're committed to it. And God wants our hearts to be committed or devoted to his word. That's why he said that I want you to search for it like you're searching for hidden treasure. And there's a lot of things that we do by the sweat of our brow for treasures, for money, for our needs. And we need to value the word of God to say this is our needs. This is our greatest need. The knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, the understanding of God for our lives. When God sought after us, he sought after us diligently. He sought after us in a devoted, dedicated way. You say, how do you figure? Well, he came all the way from heaven. He came all the way from heaven and he left his throne. And he became a man. He took a body of a form of a servant. Now that's dedication. And God wants us to be dedicated, responding, crying out, seeking after. And then notice verse 5. It says, if you search after me, if you seek and cry after me, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So that's the encouragement and the challenge, I guess. If we receive the word of God, if we search after the word of God, then God will bless us with his wisdom. And it's evident that as many as received him, to them gave ye power to become what? The sons of God. The receiving and then the blessing is becoming the child of God. If you seek, you shall find. That's the promise. If you would receive my words and if you'd search after me, you will have the benefits and I will respond. Then you shall know the fear of the Lord. In this case, knowing the fear of the Lord is completely different. It's different than having a desire to fear the Lord. Okay, having the fear of the Lord is a great start. It's the beginning of wisdom. But if I search after God, if I cry after God, then the Bible says, you shall understand how to fear the Lord. It's one thing having the desire to fear God, but it's another thing actually practicing the fear of the Lord. And that's where God wants us to eventually be at. To the very point that we understand what God loves and we love it. And we understand what God hates and we hate it. And sometimes people would say, yeah, well, I fear the Lord. Just don't spell it out to me. Just don't show me how that looks like. Don't let me know what I need to let go and what commands I need to obey. No, but God wants us to know what it is. A lot of people say, well, you know, we need to have God-given convictions and standards, just as long as you don't tell me what they are. No, we need to spell it out. We need to have these holy standards and convictions in our lives. And the same thing is true. How does one fear the Lord? Well, you need to search after his word. We need to cry after his wisdom. God would reveal it in his word. By the way, the fear of the Lord is a good, godly virtue. Notice what the Bible says in Job. Job 28:28, and unto men he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. And then Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and every evil way. And by the way, if you want to know and understand, if you want it spelled out, go to Proverbs chapter 6, and you'll understand what God hates. Seven things he spells out. It's not, yeah, God hates evil. If you go and tell someone, what's the definition of evil to you? It would be completely different than what it is in the Word of God. Completely different. All you got to do is just to go to Proverbs chapter 6 and you see what God hates right there. But you've got to search for it. You've got to dig deep into it and you've got to go after the Word of God and search and see, God, what do you hate? I want to fear you. And God, what do you love? I want to please you. In Psalm 111 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do what? His commandments. So to fear the Lord is a Christian virtue. It must be practiced in our Christian walk with God. In Psalm 19:9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Another encouragement there. If we receive the word of God and if we search after the word of God, we'd understand what the fear of the Lord is, but then we'll also find the knowledge of God. What a blessing that is. No, not the knowledge of men, the knowledge of God, the all-knowing God, a God that knows all there is to know, all there is to know about life in the beginning, all there needs to know, all there is to know about our condition, our heart, and who we are. God is the one that ponders the heart. Notice Proverbs 21:2. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth his heart. And then everything there is to know about eternal life. When some of the disciples followed Jesus no more, he looked at Peter. He says, you're going to go too? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. The Lord giveth wisdom. In verse 6, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. God is the very source of wisdom. Proverbs 21:30, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Matthew Henry said, God has wisdom to bestow. The Lord not only is wise himself, but he gives wisdom, and that is more than the wisest men in the world can do. There is no book, I tell you, there is no book in this world except the Word of God that will answer the hardest questions to life. Why are you here? I mean, what's your purpose in life? What's the reality of life? Really, come on. What is the reality? Why are we here? How did we get here? Where are we going to go when we die? And by the way, we're going to die. It's coming. And where are we going to spend eternity? God has all these answers, that the knowledge of God regarding these hard questions that the world goes after and says, oh, I need to go find myself. Because they're just lost. And by the way, they'll never find themselves. They need to go to the one that knows them more than they know themselves, and that's God. And so some of the books out there want to claim that they know God's word, they want to claim that they know are the answers to life and why we're here. But there is just theories and rhetoric, a waste of time and foolishness. No, out of the mouth, God gives wisdom. Out of his mouth, notice 2 Paul says to Timothy in chapter 3, he says, and that from a child that hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He says, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. He says, for all scripture is God breathed. Out of the mouth of God cometh knowledge and understanding. We all agree tonight that this is the word of God. Amen? We all agree that. This does not contain the Word of God. This is the Word of God. You know, when you say that this contains the Word of God, that means you can skip over a few things and say, well, that's not I hold on to the Gospels. I don't hold on to the epistles. I was trying to help a person see some things that Paul wrote. He says, well, that's what Paul wrote, but I hold on to the teachings of Christ superior than Paul the Apostle. I said, what happened to the early church? In Acts chapter 2, when they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Because again, like the saints at Thessalonica, they did not receive this word that was given to them as the word of man, but they received it as it were the word of truth, the word of God. And men, holy men of God, were inspired by God, moved by God to pen down the very words of God out of his mouth. We find knowledge and understanding. And this is the word of God. There's no more extra new revelation, amen? This is the final authority, and this is sealed with the book of Revelation, and it makes it very clear that there's no other. Not the catechism, not the Book of Mormons, not the Watchtower, none of these things, but the word of God, the final authority. Not a new, God is speaking to me, add on to the book. I said to a friend the other day, I had God speak to me the other day. Graham, God spoke to me. Turn to Ezekiel with me. I'll show you how he spoke to me. Amen. Not now. I'm just. But he did. I shared it with you on Wednesday. God spoke to me. And he spoke to me via his word. But these people want to come and hang on a minute. I got a message from God. No. This is the knowledge of God. This is the mouth of God. This is the inspired word of the living God. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And I don't know about you, but I thank God that we have the word of God in our hands. Amen. Many other Christians in different countries would do anything to have a whole entire Bible. Some of them just have pages. Notice verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. God just doesn't give sound wisdom to anybody, but rather he gives it to the righteous. Psalm 5, verse 12, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. and God will bless the righteous with his wisdom. Psalm 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. And then he's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. God protects those who walk uprightly by the wisdom of his word and by his loving grace. Notice, if you want to turn to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Notice verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. By the way, that word buckler means that God is a shield. He's our hiding place, if you would. He takes care of us. The Lord protects us. The Lord will give grace and glory. Notice this phrase. Underline it, if you would. Highlight it, if you can. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God comforts those that are discouraged. Psalm 119, verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. The application of the word of God itself, the word of God itself, is a shield that protects us. Proverbs 22, verse 3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And the only way that you and I could be prudent or wise is when we have the wisdom or the knowledge of God. That itself is a buckler to us, is a shield for us. You know, just applying the principle of God's word would encourage your heart, will keep you from evil, will protect you. Young people, listen, will protect you from heartaches and hurt. God is able to comfort your heart and strengthen your heart and just give you protection. And no doubt we need protection from this wicked world. A lot of deceitful people, deceitful things that are taking place. I was watching the news the other day. Poor people lost thousands of dollars. By the way, beware. They were pretending that they're Telstra, people from Telstra, and then something's wrong with their computer. I don't know why Telstra had to do had any affiliation with someone's computer being bugged, or I thought it was Microsoft that did it. But anyway, they cut a long story short. They tapped into the computer. They put some sort of program that they could actually get into. They did a direct transfer to their account. They even told them, oh, look, there's a little code at your mobile phone right now. Tell us what that code is. And the gullible, naive people told them what the code is. And it was over 30,000 transferred into their account. And there's a lot of bad stuff going on, a lot of deceitfulness and fraud and different things taking place. The word of God in Proverbs itself tells us to steer away from the froward man, from the evil man. God is able to give us protection just from the practical principles that we see and learn from the Word of God. He's able to give us wisdom, understanding, knowledge for just basic things in everyday life. Well, notice verse 8. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. The saints are no doubt bombarded by various weights and besetting sins that are around us, aren't they? But the Lord is able to guide us and guard us from such things. And he's able to give us his wisdom from his word as we look to the Savior, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Notice the second then, if you would, in verse 9. If we receive the word of God, if we search out the word of God, then we'll have the blessings of God. Would have the fear of the Lord, would have the knowledge, would know how to fear the Lord, would have the knowledge of God. But then notice, then thou shalt understand righteousness, judgment, equity, yea, and every good path. Every good path. Righteousness is understand the right ways of the word of God in God, in God's word, God's principles, his perspective. Judgment is making right decisions based upon biblical principles, and equity is a fair. What is fair and what is even regarding the affairs of others, and not to show any partiality. And every good path, simply just put it like this, the will and the ways of God. When I was pondering upon this characteristic or this principle, I can only think about Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It's very common, but let's turn there. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if I cry after the wisdom of God, if I receive the word of God, follow after the word of God diligently, I'm going to simply know the will of God. I'm going to simply know and prove what is good and acceptable. I'm going to understand what is the will of God. I'm going to understand how to fear the Lord, how to please God. And whilst I do that, as I walk uprightly and gain more understanding from the Word of God and more knowledge from the Word of God, God's going to protect me. He's a buckler to me. And we're going to see more about the protection of God next time we go through the Proverbs. End of chapter 1, wisdom cries without. Can you hear me? Hello? Beginning of chapter 2. A cry for wisdom. Yes, Lord. I hear you, Lord. I want to follow you. I can't live without you, Lord. I can't do without you. And if I do, I'm foolish, Lord. No. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. To respond to God's wisdom must not be a casual way, a calculated way. Love how Jim Bird puts it. No one's ever apathetic. Everyone's passionate about something. Isn't that right? No one's apathetic. Sometimes we think to ourselves, even in our own life, I'm just apathetic with the things of God. No, you're passionate and you're diligent about something. For where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Also. And I pray that you and I will make the Word of God our treasure. And we search for it as hidden treasure. And that we'd know the will of God, what the will of God is. We understand the will of God. Cry out for the will of God to be fulfilled. First is revealed. His clearly seen will. Yes, absolutely. And then God will make known his unseen will. It will begin to unfold as we begin to seek after his right way. His word, his wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding. Things will just take place. You say, how do I know the will of God? Just search after God's word and he'll make it known to you. You say, how? Well, that's the blessings of walking with the Lord and having a communication with God and being a friend of God and God revealing to you, not just as servants. For a servant doesn't know what his master doeth. But I call you friends, because everything that God has made known to me, God the Father, I'm going to reveal it to you. Shall I hide that thing which I do from Abraham? No, I know Abraham. He has a heart for me, and he's going to teach his children to have a heart for me. I'm not going to hide that thing which I do. I'm going to let Abraham in on it, and we know what the scripture says. We understand. Abraham believed God, and he was called a friend of God, and it was imputed unto him unto righteousness. Searching after or crying after the wisdom of God, responding not in a casual way, but a calculated, diligent way, seeking after God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, we thank you for the Proverbs as we begin the introduction, really, of the a serious invitation that you give to us. And Father, how you'd want us to respond to your word. Respond to your voice. Apply it in our lives. Father, help us to be diligent seekers after your word. Like we're searching for hidden treasures. Help us, Lord, to apply our heart unto wisdom. Help us to cry out for your knowledge and understanding. Father, we thank you so much that you have revealed your word to us and you give sound wisdom to those that walk uprightly. We thank you, Lord, that you would not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. We don't deserve anything from you, Lord, but you give it to us because you're a good God and we thank you for it. And Lord, tonight as we remember you, help us to remember you and remember what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.